The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well and enjoyed your holiday weekend. I mean, your weekend. I hope it was a holiday for you. But so glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. We're going to be talking about a number of things I was unable to talk to you about while we were doing our personal financial management shows. But before we get to some of those, I have some very special guests with me today to speak about a project that they are undertaking, the Templeton Laws of Life. And I have an interesting story for them that they probably have not heard of, but I'm going to introduce to you Liesl Wright and Ramona Wells. Welcome, ladies.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you all. First of all, I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourselves and the project that you are undertaking, and then I'm going to tell you a story.
I hope the story is going to be a good one.
It's going to be a really interesting story for you.
Okay. I'm Liesl Wright, and I represent the Ministry of Education, Technical, and Vocational Training. That's a mouthful. And being a former minister, you know the name changes ever so often.
Yes, ma'am. But
I represent the ministry side. Ramona and myself represent the ministry side of the Templeton World Charity Foundation's Laws of Life essay competition. This is a competition that is a cooperative effort between the ministry and the Templeton World Charity Foundation that I'm just going to call TWCF moving forward. For those out there who may not know, the Templeton World Charity Foundation, it was founded by Sir John Templeton, a financier and philanthropist who resided in Lyford Key for many, many years and has been more than generous and loved the Bahamas. Some time ago in the 1990s, he thought of a competition that would get Bahamian students or students enrolled in Bahamian schools thinking about laws of life, many of which come from his book that was written as a devotional, and some of which are his own laws, others are tenets of the Bible, and others are from other persons. And he started this competition. Of course, it existed for a while, and then it sort of went away. And then in 2009, after his passing in 2008, his late son approached the Ministry of Education about bringing this into the schools once again, and it was put under the auspices of the writing unit, a unit which I supervised for the Department of Education, and the competition was started once again. We've grown from 2009, having 80 entries, to our record high of 3,000 entries. So this is the creme de la creme of essay competitions in the Bahamas. And we are not only an essay competition, but we are also a video competition for grades 10 through 12. So it's open from grades 5 through 12 in Bahamian schools, And also the tertiary level, you must be enrolled in a local tertiary institute and be under the age of 25. And of course, I said we introduced the video competition for grades 10 through 12 a few years ago. So Ramona and I both represent the Laws of Life Committee. And we're here just to tell you a little bit about this year's competition.
Excellent. So when I was Minister of State for Education, I got a call from Sir John Templeton telling me he wished to meet with me and speak to me about something. So I was happy to do so. I went to his office. I sat with him for maybe an hour and a half. Interestingly enough, he is one of the most accomplished human beings on the planet. And he spent much of that time asking me about me. Very little did he talk about himself, but he then talked to me about his interest in getting these laws of life principles into the school system of the Bahamas. And how could I help? So I know the project from that perspective.
Yes, yes. And he was adamant about getting it into Bahamian schools, and he left that edict for his son, who carried it through, and he unfortunately passed away. But hey, we're still here, and Dr. Andrew Sarazin is now the president of the foundation, and he is more than encouraged. This is their prize possession, this Laws of Life essay competition here in the Bahamas. Mind you, it happens in other places around the world, but because they are based here, this is the love. This is what they love. And they have a distinct love for Bahamian children. And Ramona can tell you a little bit more about what is offered for the Bahamian youth through this competition. It's not just about you getting funds. Of course, everybody likes that. But she'll tell you a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I mean, because the universe, the laws of life is a principle-based set of teachings, right?
Correct. I'm so thankful for your story because it does springboard into what the competition is really all about. And not really us, you know, telling them what to write, but them telling their stories, hearing from our students and hearing exactly how does this law apply to your life. And so I am glad to talk about, if we go to the website, bahamaslawsoflife.org, and we go under the heading that says about, the part that students sometimes miss, and they're so excited when the names are announced because then they actually tune into what the prize is. I would say that we have some excellent cash prizes for our students. And then we also have prizes for our teachers and our schools. So not just our students are winning in the competition or are being awarded in the competition, but teachers who enter students in the competition, there are prizes for them as well at different levels. And then our schools are also given a monetary gift as well. If their schools are successful in winning or participating in the competition. And so we are grateful that this opportunity comes around every year, especially after, you know, what we would have gone through with Dorian and the pandemic. This is an opportunity now for our students to now write their stories again, but in a positive light of how you're going through all of that. They're now using this to catapult them to the next level in their life.
It's important for people to appreciate that Sir John Templeton was a very accomplished financial professional, investor, investment advisor. And I mean, I'm talking about probably if there are, of all in our history, he's probably in that top 5, 10, I don't know, but he is way up there, having built a magnificent institution in the financial services area. But he was also a very conscientious person, very principled person who believed in certain universal laws that guides you and helps you throughout the course of your life, you know. And the point, I think, of your program is by incentivizing people to write these essays and get some cash prizes in respect of it, is to introduce them to these laws of life, right?
Yes, definitely, definitely. And I think Woodson John's, as you said, Woodson John intended was that these tenets that are in these books, I think it's used as a devotional, so they're 365. And as you go through them, and these are things that can be applied to your life, things that you often hear, like honesty is the best policy, progress comes through change, et cetera. And this year, we're looking at those that deal with positivity. So when we look at our primary division, we're talking about you can either be part of the problem or part of the solution. We want to get our students thinking and thinking in a critical way. And this is what he intended, not just that you would enter and just write a frivolous essay, win some money and call it a day, but that you'll start to think about how you can apply these laws to your life as you grow.
And interestingly enough, let me just, for the benefit of some of you, just give you some of these laws. An attitude of gratitude creates blessings, as an example. You fear what you do not understand. Who gossips to you will gossip about you. No one knows what he can do until he tries. These are among those universal laws of life, you know, I think anyone who reads them will understand and appreciate how useful they could be to helping you live a productive and conscientious life.
Indeed, and amazingly, on our website, you can go to bahamaslawsoflife.org, and there is the PDF version of Sir John's book on the website. So even if you can't find it in print, you can go there and you can read some of these laws. And when you read about it, you know, some things we've heard them as old sayings, but definitely we want to get our students from grades 5 through tertiary level thinking about now, how do they bring these laws in? What have I done in my life to demonstrate this? What can I do? Who are examples of persons who have used these laws? And as Ramona mentioned, positivity is the theme for this year. Yes, we've been through some bad times in the last few years, but how can we take these bad times now and turn them into something positive? What can we do to show positivity through all that we've been through?
So the competition starts when?
We opened up from January 29th. Or was it in November?
November 29th,
correct. And so we're going until February 11th. But I did want to put a plug in as well. It's not just a competition for writing, because we do, like Liesl said, we have a section there for the video. And the topic for that is, if you think you know it all, you are less likely to learn more. And so we want to see how our students are able to display that, illustrate that law of life in video form. And so I would tell you that is the most amazing thing to see, when they, you know, don't write about it, but they actually put the skit together. They get their actors and everyone is together, and they actually do a video, a composed, well thought out video. And they come up with an awesome, awesome piece of work.
And so people are still able to enter. And who are eligible to enter?
Okay, we have the primary division, which consists of grades 5 and 6. Then we go to the junior division, which will be grades 7 through 9. Senior division, grades 10 through 12. And as we mentioned, we have the college level, but you have to be enrolled in a tertiary institution here in the Bahamas, and you must not have passed the age of 25. So that is open to college students, and they can win as much as $1,700 in that division. So we really want to encourage that division. Last year, we had the highest number in that division, about 30, and we're looking for even more than that. But overall, like I said, we sometimes get up to 3,000 persons. And then in grade 10 through 12, we want you to know that you don't have to write the essay. You can also submit a video, or you can do both. In grades 10 through 12, you have that option. And you don't have to be enrolled in a regular, what we consider regular school. You can be homeschooled, you can be a part of an organization, et cetera. We know the pandemic has caused the traditional view of school to change. So realizing that, we've opened up our borders and we are now welcoming anyone, any child who is in the Bahamas and studying from grades 5 through 12 and tertiary level.
And is there a limitation on the amount of words for, say, a written submission or the time for a submitted video?
Yes. So if you go on to BahamasLawsOfLife.org, all of your requirements are listed there. So we don't want you to just have to write it down now and say, okay, primary school is 250 to 350. We want you to go on there. And as a matter of fact, you must go on the website because this competition is entirely digital, Mr. Lang. There are no personal exchanges of papers, et cetera. So you must go on the website, register, and submit your essay through there.
Okay. All right. And people have up until February 11th.
Yes. And please tune into our social media pages in case there are any important announcements made about any changes in the deadline, because we know with the pandemic, things are a little bit iffy out there. So there may be the opportunity that the deadline is extended. So stay tuned to Bahamas Laws of Life Facebook and Instagram for important announcements.
Okay. And boy, I can tell you this, you know, what I love about it, beyond, I mean, and you're right, people like cash rewards. Hey, who wouldn't, right? What I love about it is it really does engage you in thinking about these very important principles, laws of life. And the more we get our younger people to consciously think through and embrace these things, the more they develop the kinds of characters that actually improve their prospects for succeeding in life.
And that's our ultimate goal in this competition. That's the ultimate goal of the Templeton Rural Charity Foundation, not just to give away the money, but to make sure that our students become grounded, well-grounded individuals. And I tell you, we have some perfect examples of persons who've entered the competition from primary school all the way up through, and now they're in college, and they have told their stories of what these laws have meant to them in their life.
Mm. Excellent, excellent. And the Ministry of Education is fully on board, integrated it into their programming, and that's why you are an integral part of what the Templeton Foundation is doing.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful. Anything else our listeners need to know?
We just want to encourage them as well to know that this entire competition is also anonymous. So when you enter your essay, once the markers get it, they don't know your name. They don't know who you are. So that we've removed that element of, oh, they cheat for me. Oh, we got robbed. We don't have that in this competition. This competition is entirely ethical from beginning to end. So, and guess what? When we have our finale, Ramona, tell them how that goes, our reveal.
During the reveal, I know, especially in this virtual time, it's totally, no one knows. So I think maybe just Ms. Wright would probably be the only person who would know. And so when students hear their names, you can see the shock and the amazement and the excitement on their faces, because they would have had no idea what was going on. No idea. And like she said, no students' names are attached when they're sent to our markers. Not even their school is attached to it. So it's totally fair across the board.
Mm. I could see that little child right now from primary school hearing their name call, and now there's the shock and delight and amazement.
definitely. And if they go on our website and watch some of the videos on the Facebook page, you'll see the elation on the faces of the persons. Now, we're praying that this year we get to have an in-person award show, which has always been magnificent. But if not, then it'll be in a hybrid mode, and you'll still get to see the excitement on those faces.
Excellent. Well, listen, we wanna wish you all the success again this year. Did you say that you sometimes have 3,000 submissions?
Yes, sir. 3,000 submissions is the record that we've had. Now, we don't know if we're going to break that record this year, but that's the highest amount we've had.
That is amazing. That is an amazing response. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of work, too.
Yes, it is. Well, our diligent markers out there, they can handle it, though.
All right. So, Madam Wright and Wells, we want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us this important information. And anytime we can be helpful in getting that message out, please let us know.
Yes, we do appreciate coming on. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Anytime. Laws of Life, ladies and gentlemen. So go on the website and young folk, participate. You're listening to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we can talk some talk show. We'll be back after this break.
in relationship banking, we take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
At Solomons, we measure our success in the quality and value we deliver to you, our customers. And just like you, we strive for better every day. That's why we work hard to ensure we always offer affordable wholesale foods and fresh quality produce and meat so that each time you shop, your experience is enjoyable and satisfying. More variety, good quality, and certainly the best value and savings. Welcome to Solomons. We're here to help build a better you.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babushak encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babushak reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us today, and I encourage you to do so because we can do a little bit of catching up. I know it's for some of you maybe a little late, but we did have a, I thought a productive personal financial management seminar over the last week, and therefore we're not quite taking up the hot button political issues taking place in the country. Some of them I found absolutely intriguing. But if you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. Or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So I observed with some let me see if I can find the right word. With some intrigue. The discussions surrounding the trip to Dubai, the delegation that went to Dubai, and the commentary around it. But I had commented on that in a previous show, but I was intrigued by the continuing conversation. And I was, you know, intrigued by the fact that even Prime Minister Davis, who I regard as someone with quite a affable demeanor, but quite a relatively humble demeanor, I was really intrigued with his response on one occasion to reporters that, well, you know, dogs don't bark at parked cars. And I thought to myself that it was not quite the response I would have expected from the Prime Minister.
This is Guardian Radio.
From the Prime Minister, because in point of fact, the concerns or the queries or questions being raised, you know, if you say dogs don't bark at parked cars, because that was an expression I first heard in the political arena, arising out of the campaign when Tommy Turnquest was leader of the Free National Movement. And it was an expression often he and his team would use to rebuff people who were critical of him, and principally people in the opposition were using that. And so for him, he was saying, listen, man, you know, when you on the move, when you're doing things, you expect people to hoop and holler. And so, you know, like a dog run and chases moving cars, they don't chase parked cars. And so that was an expression in the political arena. Had we been in a campaign, and someone was criticizing the Prime Minister and he said, you know, dogs don't bark at parked cars, I might have thought to myself, okay, fair enough, right? But given that people saw in a pandemic, a government take a sizable delegation with a budget extending beyond $1 million and raising questions as to both the makeup of and the size of the delegation, I didn't know how it became an issue of dogs don't bark at parked cars, because quite frankly, people have a right, especially taxpayers, to raise questions about public spending. They have a right to do so. And the response to that right should be, here is what happened. You may not agree with it, but here is what happened. And some of those people who were raising the query were not just simply opposition personalities. They weren't just Dr. Minnis, Michael Pintard, on other FNM operatives. It was not. I can assure you it was not. There were lots of people, some supportive of the government and some who really didn't care one way or the other which party was the issue. It was, they were just curious about it. And so I just thought, you know, I was like actually quite surprised. And you know, and the Prime Minister said it in such a, he wasn't mean-spirited when he said it, he wasn't aggravated, he wasn't agitated. He just said, you know, dogs don't bark at parked cars. And he said it so matter-of-factly. But I thought altogether that's not what you want to do. It's just especially since the Minister of Economic Affairs, Mr. Michael Alkeedis, the Honorable, had already indicated that they would give a full accounting. Now, that full accounting has not happened yet, as far as I'm aware. If somebody knows that it has happened, you can let me know. But I don't know that it's happened yet. The second thing that intrigued me about the story is, let me tell you all something. If you are the press secretary of the government, or you are someone else in support of the government, you cannot expect or think that because you speak, you will end a discussion on a matter. That I'm sorry, that's not gonna happen. You can only end a discussion on a matter when the public is satisfied that they have heard sufficient about a matter. And it sounds very arrogant when you say, well, we expect the matter to be ended now. Oh, really? Oh, okay. See how that works out. It never does. How do you end the matter?
You tell the story to end the story. You give sufficient details and information so that people can be satisfied, even if they disagree with you. Well, there's no more else to get. But I was intrigued, and this is in this current environment. This isn't the only group to try that. It's happened in previous administrations and others who have felt like, oh, you could just, I'm not speaking about it no more, and that's the end of it. Okay, let me tell you what people do. What people do is when you decide that you can just end the story for them and you didn't finish with it, oh, they park it in their hearts and tick it off as, okay then, next. So all they're doing is making deposits on your bad bank account. So the disposition has got to be, let me satisfy to the extent possible the curiosity of the public about the matter so that they can be sufficiently informed, even if they disagree with the information, that I have been transparent and accountable, meaning I have sought to let them be able to see what I did, and I have sought to justify what I did to the satisfaction of my responsibility to good governance. That's all you could do, you know. You're gonna make judgments in government, you're gonna make judgments every single day, every day, every day. Some known, some unknown. And some you can get agreement on, some you ain't get no agreement on, some you ain't get no, you can get lots of disagreements on. That's the nature of leadership. That's the nature of governance. You're not gonna change that. But what you can't do is have a disposition that you don't owe to the public. And that you don't owe to the public this accountability. And that if there is criticism, if there are queries raised, that it is a question of people unjustifiably barking at you. Really? Really? On the campaign trail, yes. Not in governance. I don't think so. And bro, sir, people, y'all know I have no qualms, no issues, nothing against our prime minister. And I still believe him to be an affable man. I still believe him to display a humble demeanor. But that comment intrigued me, I'm gonna lie. And the comment by the press secretary that this is just gonna end the matter, I was like, okay. I participated in politics for 20 years, 10 in government. And I can tell you, I never seen the ability to end a conversation the public didn't want to end. Never, 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 never seen it. And when you see them stop talking, when you see the public stop talking and they are dissatisfied with something, oh, you better believe. That's like bitterness in the heart of a person that they have been carrying for a long time. Jack, let me tell you, that ain't pretty. It ain't pretty at all. Anyway, we can take another break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host.
To take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Grand Bahama, it's time to read all about it once again. As the Nassau Guardian starts a weekly Grand Bahama news supplement each and every Tuesday starting February 8th. Learn more about advertising opportunities in the Grand Bahama news supplement by calling Barefoot Marketing at 727-9515 or 827-4578. Grand Bahama, make sure you get your Nassau Guardian daily and grab your Grand Bahama News Supplement each Tuesday to keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Child, Joni Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Balan, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. I'm catching up on some of the discussions and talks that have taken place over the last week when we were doing our personal financial management seminar. So I'm sorry if you think I'm rehashing or rehearsing some of these issues, but we got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello, Mr. Lang, good day.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, man. I was disturbed by that statement with Clint Watson, a male. I think he held a press conference. At the end of that press conference, he said it's the last he wanted to hear about it, and he discussed that enough now. But I don't think Clint Watson had that.
I wasn't hearing things when I heard it.
No, he wasn't hearing it. I heard. I was very disturbed about that because what I'm saying, and he speak about the part with the Prime Minister and the quarantine and what Dr. Michael Darvill said and all. But Juan McCarthy discussed that at length on an earlier show last week on, you know. But what I'm saying, Clint Watson will have the authority to speak for the whole Bahamas. Like you say, the people will, when they feel that they're satisfied that their questions were answered or they find out what they need to know, then they'll stop speaking about it. But Clint Watson can't tell nobody to shut up.
You're right. And, you know, one of the things that a press secretary has to realize is that he is not his own spokesperson.
Right.
So I would have to ask if the prime minister shares the attitude and sentiment
that he has of
the press secretary, because right, that's who you speak for. You right, are not your own spokesperson.
So that's what will make the people believe now that the prime minister, tell him to say this. You know, so I'm saying he's getting besides himself. And he has an assistant now, I think Gillian Gray, she's a reporter, I think, but at one of the stations. Gillian Gray and all was on with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very bad for him to come on and say that look how much they criticized Minister while he was there and after he got out of there, and they're still criticizing him. nobody say, well, stop talking about it now. Huh?
Well, Sir Lyndon has been, has passed a long time ago, and there are still people who criticize him. So you can't tell people, look, people ain't going to end the story until they end it for themselves. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Sir Lyndon, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing okay, man. And yourself?
Everything all right, Mr. Lang? You know, people be taking things on content, right? Mr. Lang?
Okay.
Hello? You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you sound a little low for some reason. I don't know why.
Pardon me, my phone is low?
Yeah, it sounds so, because the other guy who came on here, he was
can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. Okay.
No, what I'm trying to say, not you, because, you know, you is on the issue, and you're sharing what people are saying, right?
Right.
And not against you personally, but, you know, people, you know, Mr. Lang, things got to be going good, right? Because all these great things happened to the Bahamas, school open, everything is going good, and you said you chose to talk about? I mean, like I said earlier,
what I chose to talk about?
No, not you. No, I'm trying to say, you only facilitating what people are saying, okay? So it's nothing to do with you, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to say, I noticed the Guardian, they have an agenda, and they say school open, tax drop, COVID-19 going down, and they choose to talk about something. First of all, the Prime Minister said he didn't break the law, and then guess what happens to the thing? You with me?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Were they
accusing the Prime Minister of nobody was ever fined for? And last thing, Mr. Lang, my husband, that he ever explained what he was doing in the hotel room? That's more important, though. The man had resigned as a senator, for modifying a plot.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, so you don't want...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm listening to you.
All right, let's begin with ideal reality. You realize this is the first time in our country history we had a politician who was caught on a tape modifying a plot, giving money out.
Listen to me, man. You finished?
My girlfriend died in the big leagues now.
Listen to me, but you are not going to use the Guardian radio for your propaganda.
Really? That's a fact.
Not this show. Do you have the tape?
Pardon me?
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Boy, let me tell you some of y'all political operatives, FNM, PLP, whoever y'all are on your game, yeah? On your game, man. But guess what? My eyes ain't closed, man. And my ears ain't deaf. Right? I can hear you and I can see you and I see what you're doing. Okay? Now, don't call these shows talking about no, all these good things happening and look what y'all choose to talk about. Because I remember you and you call often. You couldn't care less if any positive thing was happening in the government of the Bahamas. You were always on Dr. Minister's tail. Always. Why? Because that's what you wanted to talk about. Don't cuss people now because they want to talk about what they want to talk about. Don't do that. You can't stop a man from talking about what he want to talk about. If the things happening are so good, then let them talk about it. They can talk about it if they want to talk about it. If you got to push them to talk about it, is it really that good? At least you got to ask yourself that for them. But don't do that, man. You can't. Don't try to skew the Guardian of an agenda. This one. Nonsense. Because you like the Guardian when it's mashing up minutes, and you hate the Guardian if you think the Guardian is criticizing your party. Nonsense. We're not going to let you get away with that. Nonsense. You are a PLP supporter. We understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. You support your party. You come on and you talk strong for your party. But don't think we can let you get away with trying to suggest there's an agenda here because we are talking about what is in current. All right? If you want to talk about... See, look how much time you wasted. Instead of talking about all the good things that happened, you come on here to talk about Mr. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Chivago.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Thank God for life, Shushila. I know if I get a chance to tell you Happy New Year, but since I'm the same, but what you want to talk about, one of the things I wanted to bring to your attention, I don't know if I switched it from your topic,
No problem, man. Look right ahead.
I hear Alpha Chess in Parliament saying that they're going to find $30 million or they're going to spend $31 million more on the stadium. Yeah. And I hear McCartney talking about it earlier, and I think we need to find out, like, what it for. And I don't think they need to do that right now, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, I'm not educated to know, like, why it's important that they do continue it and don't put it on hold, but I feel like so much more important things to go. What we need to spend our money on right now, Mr. Lang, about 2 months ago, around the ending part of November, they stopped the contracts by Beach and Pass. They fire us. Some of us who even voted for this new day government for the PLP, because all the people who the former government had working the Beach and Park, they wasn't just a bunch of F&Ms. They was PLPs too, all of us behemoths. Now, what I want to ask you is that since you work in accountants and stuff like that, this thing what they call audit, I wonder how long that has taken, Mr. Lang, and why they taking so long to pay us. I thought, like, when you fire someone, you're supposed to pay them. Some of us is only making like $800, $1,000 a month for cleaning on the side of the road and cleaning parks. This government, the PLP government, say they care about people. I believe this practicing inconsiderateness, and I don't think it's fair. You know, I don't know if they think we just poorly educated or because we want to get paid, we should shut up. I feel like being quiet is wrong and nobody explaining nothing to us. We ain't as smart as to know that an audit may take 6 months or a year. We don't know that. Someone need to come, Clint Watson, all of them who have in the last, they need to come and tell us. Now, although I ask you what the audit is all about, what that meaning, right? I know Terrence Bassian is supposed to be the behemoth auditor general. This thing with the $31 million and knowing that they done spent all kind of million dollars with the stadium, do you think it's fair for them to maybe invite the auditor general to come down and do the investigating and prove to the behemoth people why they need to spend $31 million? And Mr. Simon Wilson, or the prime minister, you all please pay us. We out here hurting. We get bills to pay. We get light bills. I mean, come on, man. Stop being inconsiderate like that or educated. Say something. Tell us why we ain't get paid yet. Thank you, Mr. Lyne.
Thank you. Okay, my brother. Thank you. I'll speak to it on the other end of the news break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public, its customers, and residents of Taylor Street, Nassau Village, that the corporation will commence improvement work on January 31st, 2022 for a period of 10 weeks. During this period, there may be interruption in water supply, road closures, and detours around the work area. Where possible, motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. daily. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your patience as they work to improve their level of service.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Do I have a caller on the line or not? Oh. No, because I got some text. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hi, yes, go ahead, caller.
Tuago.
Hi, hi.
Good afternoon, how are you doing?
I'm good, man, how are you?
Man, everything good, man.
Excellent.
Boy, rewind the tape. I agree with you 100%. And like you say, there's only deposit it to the bad account. And then keep it up in the yard till 2026. Mm-hmm. And then bring out the anger.
Mm-hmm.
They don't learn from the previous administration, see. Like how you say even last week on one of your shows, how flippant they get and just ignore everything the public say. But when they're in opposition, anything the public say, they be jumping on.
Yeah.
And even Chicago, like even I just call Elsworth Johnson on the news just now. Like, mm-hmm. I remember, like, before election, right, when McElpine was saying some stuff and things like that, right, Elsworth Johnson jump up and say, talk for yourself. Talk for yourself, you know, you ain't speaking for me. And I call Levon Miller show, right, and I say, Chihuahua gets talk better on the show the afternoon before that. If they mad with the leader, or if they mad with Christie, or they mad with Millis, like in the last two elections, then a vote for you is a vote for them. So then, they gotta, don't vote for you, though, because if Minnis or Christie gotta go, then you gotta go.
Absolutely.
But they don't learn from these things, you know, they don't learn from these things. You know, government has changed five times. They don't have all the experiences on how to be able people to get upset, and they are talking foolishness. And like how you say, not only F&M, disgruntled F&M's talking, because Papa gets being on the guest now, and Papa is a PLP. So don't try even talking about F&M's complaining. That's a PLP who complained just now. You know, they make the same mistake over and over and over. It's why government change every 5 years.
Well, you know, the reality is that when you get in government, there is a very real tendency to get put in a bubble in which all the people are around you, most of them at least, are yes people. They are really.
You're right.
And I'm not saying that, I'm not criticizing them for that because they want to be supportive of their government. They want to be encourage their government. But sometimes you're doing a disservice to yourself by having that a bunch of yes people around you. And then also, though, you have also some of your own supporters who come and say to you, listen, man, you all need to be careful. But what you do is you get defensive because and that's a natural human instinct to be defensive because you feel vulnerable. You feel like you are at risk of losing something. And so rather than face up and own up to what you've been told, you go defensive to strengthen and shore up yourself because you don't want that bad feeling you have to continue in you.
And what I do like Chicago, how they say when they didn't, the politics, when they didn't get run, say they couldn't talk because the whip was on and this and on and they have to go along party lines
but,
and then.
But some of that is true. That's true. That's no different than if you are on a basketball team, an NBA basketball team, and you all are having internal struggles and trials. They don't expect LeBron James to go do an interview and cuss out Westbrook. That's not appropriate.
No.
So that's not. Some of that is very true. You say what you have to say in the party instead of going outside. Because let me ask you a question. How good would you look trying to get reelected when people know you fighting against each other?
Well, I agree that you shouldn't do it out in the public like that. But I mean, like, if you in the cabinet and they're going to sign a 150-year lease on Hog Island over there or whatever, that on the key. And then if you ain't agree to that, you know that's wrong. My whip on or not, I can stand up and I can say, well, no, chief. Man, we have plenty of generations coming up. I don't think one party should have a lease for 150 years.
But you don't know what they said in the cabinet. That's the whole point of cabinet secrecy is that they're supposed to be able to be free to speak. So you don't know what anybody said.
Okay.
But
yeah,
once they agree it,
once
they agree it, everybody has to own on to it.
Right. Yeah, but too much yes sir, man. I'm thinking too much brown and they know us brownest, man. And they say that, man.
All right.
You know.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
To get re-election or to get the nomination for the next election.
All right, guys. Yeah. I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot. We have do I have another call on the line? No? Okay, I have a text here says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Nothing a politician could say today that will surprise me. I'm super surprised when people surprise what come out of politicians' mouth. Okay. This one says, on a second note, the stadium cost $31 million to finish. I might as well save the government money and put in a bid for $27 million to finish. That's cute. This text says, Lord help us, cutting man. No, man, I ain't cutting nobody. Let him talk. Sometimes they do sufficient work making their own case. We have some other texts here. We got a text here says, good day. In my view, Clint Watson is speaking a totally different tone from when he was in media. I wonder if they hired certain media personalities to quiet them. This text says, social service feeding program stopped. The unemployment benefit program looked like it stopped. Food store prices skyrocket, bills going up. So how is life getting better? You only wake in 2 to 3 days. It's a new day, but we expecting better, okay? This text says, the PLP does not behave like an ordinary political party. It's their way or the highway. The laws are for everyone except them. This mindset seems to be acceptable. When the PLP is in office, it's all sweet talk about one Bahamas. When another party is in office, it seems okay to bring the country to its knees. Okay. Well, that brings me then to the other observation I made, which was the, firstly, unprompted, unsolicited, the prime minister now said that he had broken quarantine, right? So nobody said that. He was speaking and he said that, right? And so the press picked up on that. The press picked up on that. And then, like, it was amazing to me how all of the commentary following that was contradicting the prime minister, right? So understand this now. The press picked up on what the prime minister said about what he did. Clearly the PM thought, well, he couldn't have thought about it in any kind of dangerous way to have said it to begin with, right? Because I assure you that if the prime minister thought that this was such an egregious thing, he would not have said it, in my view. He would not have indicated that that he broke quarantine. But for some reason, he thought in the circumstances that it was okay to make this what seemed to be to him a light admission. And that was intriguing enough. But then it was followed by the Minister of Health saying he didn't break quarantine because he never went into quarantine. All right? He didn't break quarantine because he didn't go into quarantine. Right? Then it was said that, you know, he didn't go into quarantine because he wasn't ordered into quarantine by any medical professional. But then folk came behind him and said, but he said he broke quarantine. Now, first, let me say this. As I understood the rule, you don't need anybody to order you into quarantine. My understanding is of the code that exists, the rules that exist. If you are exposed to somebody who tests positive for COVID, and that means that you've been spending sufficient time with them to have been so exposed. So if you spend a second around a person or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, my understanding is that's not exposure. But if you spend sufficient time around a person, you have to go in quarantine. So let me give you an example, which is my son tested positive for quarantine, two of my sons, and nobody ordered me into quarantine. I knew the rules, so we went into quarantine. And every day, at least twice in the period of quarantine, a doctor called us because they get the test and asked, you know, how is it going? Is everybody doing okay? Are you in quarantine? I want you to know your quarantine continues into this X period of time. And so, and then called us on the last day of quarantine to say, how is everybody doing? Is anybody unwell? Blah, 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 blah. And then, by the way, your quarantine ends today. Nobody ordered us into quarantine, though. My son and my two sons tested positive. Nobody ordered them into quarantine. I told them the rule is that once you do that, you are required for 14 days to be in quarantine. And so was I. Right? So this notion that somebody had to order you into quarantine, I want somebody to show me that in the regulations that have been passed. I would love for somebody to show me that. Right? That's like, you know, that's why we go and get tested before we go to travel, because we know the rule says that's what you have to do. So I'm sorry, unless somebody can show me otherwise, I don't see any rule that says you have to be ordered into quarantine once exposed. Remember now, this is a public health issue. And public health issues like this, where there are no mandates, remember now, there's no mandate. So you're not mandated to get a vaccine. They aren't policing. People aren't policing every single body. These things only work on compliance with the rules. That's the only way they work. Where there is a voluntary, in many instances, compliance with the rules. That's how the law works. The law says thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. But you have to voluntarily comply with the law. Otherwise, all that happens is you murder and then you get prosecuted if you're caught. So nobody had to be ordered into quarantine. And the prime minister understood this. That's why he said, I broke quarantine. He said it. Right? And again, I don't think the prime minister was being malicious. I don't think the prime minister was being, being a front to people by suggesting he had a power to do something other people didn't have a power to do. I don't think the prime minister thought that this would have gone the way it went. But to make the excuse that he wasn't ordered, I think that more damage and confusion was done by the conversations after the prime minister's remark than the prime minister's remarks themselves. Because, you know, let me be clear, right? The prime minister of our country is the head of government. Government is the law enforcer in the state. Therefore, the prime minister has a principal duty to both promulgate and ensure the good governance of the state, which means the keeping of the rules. So when there is an issue of breach of law by the head of government, it is going to raise questions and it is going to cause people to make soundings about the rightness of it and the seriousness of it. That's gonna happen. I'm not suggesting to you go and get alarmed. You can do that if you want, or don't do it if you want. But don't act and treat it as a matter of some flippancy that people would say in a circumstance such as that. In a pandemic where you are trying to stop the spread of something, that it is a light matter and is not an issue that people ought to be concerned about, and then to come behind and try to reconstitute and redefine the issue. So let me tell you what could happen now, based on the interpretation some people have given, some from official, no. If you get exposed to somebody who had COVID, and you know that, even if the person is symptomatic, you do not have to quarantine so long as nobody has commanded you to do so. So anybody who is in quarantine today, who has not been ordered into quarantine by a doctor, apparently the rule is you do not need to go into quarantine. Now there's a rule. Now also I hear the rule is, well, if you test for negative several times and all that kind of stuff, then you don't have to quarantine, really? Or is that how it works now? So you could get exposed to a person who has COVID, test today, test tomorrow, test the next day, because you could test for 5 days and not come up with COVID. But I thought the incubation period could be like 6, 7, 8 days. You could come down with it. No? Okay. So I just felt like, I listened with intrigue as I was doing the shows last week and just thought to myself, man, and you know why it happens? Let me tell you all something. This is a young administration, and by young, I mean it's newly elected. Not that everybody's young, but it's a young administration. Listen, man, here's what is necessary. Take your time, develop a collectively considered response to an issue, or don't respond to an issue as a matter of collective determination. Invite into your considerations people you know have the propensity or capacity to actually challenge what you say, so that they can give you objections that might come forward to what you say to strengthen the statement that you made. It is not necessary for health to speak, OPM to speak, this one to speak, and the next one to speak, because the risk inherent in that is you don't have an all of government response and you end up with contradictions. That's the reality. I couldn't care less of what people thought about my tendency to speak in tandem with Hubert Alexander Ingram. I understood 100% that he was head of government, and he was the only person in the government who could say, my government. The only person who could say, my government. I'm talking about what the Queen could say on reading a speech from the throne. Oh, no cabinet minister can say my government. Only him. Because the governor general calls upon him to form a government and to form his government. So whenever I was in doubt, I went and I spoke to him and I said, sir, X, Y, and Z. I did that in the country and I did it outside the country when I was representing the Bahamas. Why? It's his government. Why would I want to contradict the government, the head of government? So on all of government, and the prime minister will have to take charge of that. He has to be willing to spend the time ensuring that the message that's crafted is the message he wants sent out. Because at the end of the day, I assure you, when voters go to vote, they are voting either for the leader or against the leader most of the times. And the only way they can do that is by punishing or rewarding his candidates. Right? So I just found it so intriguing to listen to all of those explanations. Let me tell you something, folks. A lot of people in the Bahamas don't pay attention to details. That's true. So you can say things and they wouldn't care one way or the other. A lot of your supporters aren't going to care what you say. This goes for Mr. Davis, Prime Minister, and for Mr. Pintad, the leader of the opposition.
once you support the party, you're going to support the party. And so you don't care if they get it right or get it wrong, because you're going to have to defend it anyways, you think. But you don't lose the government or win the government in the broad, you know, because you almost always then have that base. You lose it on the margins, in the middle, that little slither of independent thinkers or voters who can side one way or the other. They can hop over here, hop over there, they hop over there tomorrow, and so forth and so forth. And those people pay attention. They pay attention. They listen. And so while your supporters are saying, yeah, I'm glad you say that, I'm glad you tell them that, and while your opponents are out there, that's nonsense, 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 nonsense. These other people are sitting in there weighing the thoughts and deciding, you know, that makes some sense, you know, that makes some sense. Or, no, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. And then they are going to be the ones who deposit in their bad bank account some dollars toward your discredit. That's how it works. So I was intrigued. We have some text here. Let me read them for you. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. All this tell the Bahamian people is do for yourself and stop relying on the government. Well, you got to rely on the government anyways, because if the government stops protecting you, chaos will ensue and you won't be able to rely on yourself hardly. The government stops providing you with infrastructure, you won't be able to move about as freely as you move about. If the government stops providing the critical transport services that you require, you couldn't move from here, there, or anywhere. So you have to rely on the government, so don't let anybody fool you. There are some people in the country who are unable to care for themselves. They are indigents or they are the poor, and they have to rely on the government. So I understand what you're saying, but we have to rely on the government. That's a fact. Government is a necessary implement in the society. Necessary. There's no getting around it. And for as much as you criticize the government, as much as you talk about the government, you talk about politicians, the reality is the level of stability, the level of prosperity you have in the country is a direct function of the competence and the efficiency and effectiveness of government. There's no question about that over time. This text says, I think Ministry of Housing and the Mortgage Corporation is out of order. They were created so that people of low income would be able to get homes. But now the Mortgage Corporation and housing are competing with the private sector pertaining to building homes, and that is wrong. I think that's an important and well stated point. It is, but all you have to do is ask yourself though. See, if the government changes the policy such that the Mortgage Corp is no longer in the low-income housing business, well, there you go. It can do that. But it is appropriate to ask if it has done so, if it has decided to spread the margin of persons that it is seeking to assist through housing. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options,
We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I believe we have a caller on the line. Do we still have a caller? No? Okay. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. We're talking about a host of things that I observed, found intriguing during the course of my shows last week, but couldn't really comment because we were providing personal financial management information to you. And so we have some text here. I want to finish reading for you. This text says, you are correct regarding the collective responsibility being made, by a designated individual. However, my observation is that there are those, it seems, that love the media attention. Go figure. Yep, that could be true. Says, that's true, Mr. Lang. It's just that it's always a problem with money, though. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure what that is connected to, but hey, okay. So another one of my, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Gerardo.
Hey, yes, sir.
You had gone to the news break, and maybe you did answer me, and I didn't hear you.
I did not.
If you think they should have an audit on this alleged $31 million they're supposed to spend on the continuing the baseball stadium.
Yes.
That's a two-part question.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Okay. If anybody know, you should know. I just think it's inconsiderate how long they had us waiting on that pay. Some are saying get paid from in September. The government changing everything. Not all the people who they fire us December 31st, and all of them people, some of them people work for this New Day government. Even if they don't work for the New Day government, they already work. They be humans. I thought when you fire somebody, you pay them, man.
Okay, yeah.
I'll hang up and let us know if Karen Sebastian could maybe help us out in the situation if audits take like 6 months. But this being from December, they fire us, man. This a New Day or what?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Papa. Yeah, so an accounting audit is an effort by the accounting firm to test the veracity, the correctness, the appropriate representation of the financial information that an entity or a person says represents what in fact was done in the organization or by the person. So they aren't going to go in there unless it's a forensic audit of a sort, like they like to say, where you're going to look at pretty much every detail or so forth. But an audit is generally, there's a certain sampling of the information that's taken to say, when I look at this batch of stuff, I looked at 20%, 30% of the stuff. I'm not an accountant, and as far as I could tell, it seems like they followed proper accounting procedure. The numbers seem to be representative and reflected. Sometimes you get a note from the accounting firm saying, do you have this loan at the bank and is it in this amount and is it correct? Because that's a way for them to test the veracity of the information that the bank is reporting or representing as true and correct for the
bank. So an audit is the attempt to say, did this organization function in a way that the information, financial information that it's provided is accurate? So if you're looking at an audit as to what happened at Roads and Parks, you're looking to see, okay, did this person or these did these set of persons do $1,000 worth of work based on invoicing, based on the some assessment of the project itself? Not all the projects, but some of them. So that's what the attempt is to do. Now, an audit wouldn't be what you do for the money you're gonna spend. You do audit on money you have spent. Now, you could make a judgment on assessment about money you should spend based on an audit about money you have spent. Because if I say that a project is gonna cost $21 million, and an auditor goes in and says, yeah, $21 million of work has been done, but the work is only 95% completed, and the 5% to be completed will cost $1 million. So by our estimate, then now you know, okay, it's fair to say $1 million more spent on this $21 million project to bring in the total $22 million is what it should cost. But an auditor, you could ask the auditor, okay, can you tell me whether there's $31 million worth of work here to be done? Now, how is an auditor going to be able to assess that? First of all, they can only assess that by having a quantity surveyor go in and say, okay, what is the government seeking to construct at the end of the day? And so the quantity surveyor looks at what exists now and look at what the government says it wants at the end of the day and ask the question, if I price what it takes to do what the government wants at the end of the day compared to what exists today, is that a $31 million proposition? Now it could very well be, because the government could have had a $31 million worth of change orders in there. But if you're the government and a project that was estimated to be $21 million is going to come in at 100% plus above that amount, that shouldn't be a by the way statement by you. That shouldn't be a off the cuff statement by, that shouldn't even be a press conference statement by you. That should be a communication to the Parliament of the Bahamas. You know, to say we looked at this, looked at that. Here are the quantity surveyors and the technical people's assessment of what needs to be done. Here are some change orders that we thought were necessary to make the thing functional. Bam, 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 bam. That's only one thing. So you're justifying this $31 million that you say has to be done. Secondly, given that it's $31 million, you need to say, oh, but we made provision for that in the budget. Oh, we didn't make provision for that in the budget, but we anticipate that this amount will be spent over 2-3 fiscal cycles, and we are going to allot in the next fiscal cycle the X amount for it, and the next one, X amount for it. And also, we are going to come with a supplemental in the media budget to account for a portion of the amount they spread. Because just because the government says it's going to take $31 million to finish it, doesn't mean that it's going to spend $31 million in a single fiscal year. Because if the work has to be stretched across fiscal cycles, so this is 2022, 2023 will end in June of this year. So 2022, 2023 will start in July of this year. It means that you don't have to spend $31 million in this budget. It may be only $10 million. Then the other $10 million in 2023. And maybe a balance spend in 2023, 2024. So there isn't necessarily a hit to one budget by this amount. But it is inconceivable that you could have that much of a change on adjustment upward without at least a thorough explanation about why, what constitutes that sizable of a change. Now, as to Papa's point about there being paid, man, listen, almost every election cycle, we are having the Haynes get caught up in this. We are having the Haynes get caught up in this cycle of someone comes in, holds suspicious what was done, and then all of a sudden people get delayed in their payments. The delay in payment, Papa, could be multiple reasons. One could be that they are wanting to find out whether things were appropriately done and therefore wait to see how people should be paid. But the truth of the matter is that can't affect a legitimate contract between you and the government. If you have a legitimate contract between you and the government, and the government itself was lousy in enforcing the proper execution of the contract in terms of work, that has nothing to do with the contractor. Okay, unless the government wants to sue the contractor and say it didn't do the work it was supposed to do, right? But other than that, I mean, you've contracted, you've done the work, you're supposed to be paid, period. Now, so you can have delays based on that. And the government can't order the auditor general to go and take a look at it. The auditor general will look at things like that in the ordinary course of their work. It's work. But the government does have internal auditors in the Ministry of Finance who could do that. Or it can ask an external auditor to do that. So that is possible too. But that it should have regard for poor people or for average souls who have to rely on this money that they were going to get, I think that has a consideration, a political consideration the government has to take into account. Secondly, sometimes you ain't getting paid because the cash flow ain't there. That's reality too. So the Treasury is trying to balance salaries due with other urgent rents due. And sometimes they put your payments on the back burner trying to manage the cash flow. Sometimes that's all that's happening too. Now the government might tell you that, but that's the reality. Because I'm gonna tell you all, the government doesn't sit around with $1 billion in any account. In fact, the government don't sit around most times with a dollar on any account. But certainly not in the central account, because it's an overdraft. So it has to manage cash flows. And so sometimes some of the delays that you are experiencing can reflect nothing more than the cash ain't right quite there yet. Because remember now, they said Roseland Park overspent by $21 million. $21 million. That's a lot of money. So you got to find $21 million. But you also got to find $50 million to pay salaries. And you have to put tens of millions of dollars more to pay other bills. Okay, so it could well be, sir, that some of that is playing out in what's going on. I'm not saying it is. I'm just giving you some options as to what's happening. But as a matter of course you want to be paid, and the government ought to seek to get you paid. And I'm sure they want to pay you because they don't want you. No government wants you cussing them. No government wants you angry with them. They don't. Now, I'd be a liar to tell you that governments don't, new administrations don't come to office, FNM, PLP, don't make no difference, thinking everybody you give this contract to must be your supporter. But if Mr. Ingram is the first person telling me, Shabago, don't be fooled by that nonsense, because you ain't know who vote for you. He used to tell me that frequently. Don't mind that nonsense, because you don't know who vote for you. You don't know. So don't walk around talking about who you could cut here and who you can cut here, because you ain't know. And he was saying that to me, not because I was doing anything. He was saying to me as a matter of teaching me about how to look at these matters in terms of politics. His text says, this administration is talking about raising minimum wage. That won't have any effect to the average Bahamian with inflation and building homes that Bahamians cannot afford. All right, this text says, great show as usual. Mr. Lang question, why is the stadium even in consideration to even look at it this time? We have so much other issues that $31 million could go. I could guarantee you the minute they approve that $31 million, how could they tell the government workers they can't get their overtime properly due
to them, perception is reality. If you could piss away $31 million on the stadium, you could pay overtime salaries. I see a strike coming. You have a good point. You have a good point, you know? And that's obviously the other question is where the money's coming from. I mean, okay, first of all, the government can find the money. All right, let's be real. Right? It can blow up the deficit to do so, but it can find the money, right? The government can find the money to do it. The question is whether it should at this time find the money. So it could be making a calculation that all the steel and other things that's been done, if you have it sitting out there and exposed and whatever, it could be deteriorated, and that deterioration could cause further cost overruns, et cetera, and so forth and so forth. I don't know. Maybe there's some revenue stream that could be had from the stadium because you could have baseball teams come in and rent it and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. But, you know, it can find the money, right? The consequence of finding the money, that's a different story, but it can find the money. It's Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Very good show as usual. As always, I also had a problem with the statement made by the PM and that by Mr. Watson. From the beginning, I thought he was making some statements he should not. And he continues because he has not been corrected. Also, some of the PRP members are still campaigning, especially Fred Mitchell. They don't realize that they won the election. Mr. Lang, it is true. They have not paid the workers since last August. This is very bad. Are they not Bahamians until we realize in this Bahamas that once a job has been done properly, regardless of their presumed political preference, he should maintain that job? We will not move with this type of mentality. Sad day, Mr. Lang. Appreciate you sharing. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
You to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Bamboo Shack reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. In these remaining moments of the show, if you want to give us a call, you can do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. 325-4259. Or you can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, was the baseball stadium an election promise? I don't know how it could have been because it was started under previous administrations. I don't know. I don't know if it was an election promise. I don't know. Says, good afternoon, sir. Auditors are to be impartial. Yeah, auditors are nothing to do with whether you FNMP, LP or not, the auditor's responsibility is to go in there and test the veracity of your accounting information. So that's their job. This text says, Boleg said the PM wants this all completed in 2022. He also said he's not listening to the noise in the market, okay? Which I found incredulous, okay? PM Davis needs to have a regular meeting to assess his ministers before this. I ain't got nothing to say to y'all that start spreading. Yeah, okay. You ain't listening to the noise in the market. Well, what the noise in the market was telling you when election was happening in September. Election and the noise in the market was saying, we can change the government and vote in the PLP. Don't listen to the noise in the market, man. Don't listen to the noise in the market. See how that works out. Is Texas $31 million a waste of money? Tell me line is being done with the stadium to the west of the Sir Sydney Poitier Bridge. How much did the government spend on that stadium? Waste of money? I really don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Good question, but I don't know. I don't know. But, says, good afternoon. Oh. I agree. I agree with, listen, man. Folk, let me tell you something. Man, what I need to tell you. What I need to tell you. Right? Y'all are the voters. Y'all know exactly how y'all just get ticked off. And y'all know exactly how you get pleased. So, no problem. If the stuff you are doing works for you and gets you elected and keeps you elected, keep doing it. Keep doing it. If it don't work for you, stop doing it. Stop doing it. All right? I heard the leader of the opposition make a comment about the banks fleecing you. And quite honestly, I'm sure lots of people find that kind of a thing appealing because you feel done in by banks. You feel like the banks are not being fair and that they are excessively charging you. But, you know, it is also necessary to ask the question whether fleecing is really quite what is happening or whether the banks are operating in a business environment where they have to look after their business line otherwise or close down, right? My own view is that banks, like any business, does what's in their interest. Now, that interest may not serve you, may not be in your interest, but it's certainly in their interest as a business seeking to make a profit for their investors at a certain rate. Now, one of the things that I find true about the bank's operations or any business's operation is this. You don't have to use a bank. You don't have to use the bank's fees, like not all of the services. Yes, the banks are critical factors in the financial system, so it's chances are you are going to interact with a bank. But you don't have to use that service, or two, you can move around as much as you can. And three, you can elevate your consumer voice to echo more and more your concerns and try and drive them to a certain place. But I fully expect in a free society that the banks like you pursue their interests. Like for instance, right, you're at the bank, you decide you ain't want your thousands of dollars in that bank no more. You move it, but that ain't good for the bank. But you don't care. You're moving it because it's good for you, right? And so, all of us in the course of our commentary on all sides of the divide, all the political sides and all the socioeconomic sides have to be able to accommodate the varying perspectives that exist out there, and we may still arrive at a conclusion we arrive at. So, you know, on the one hand, you're the government,
and you're in, you take a view towards speaking to the public. So now you're telling the public, I ain't listening to the noise in the marketplace. You know why you could say something like that? You can say something like that because you think that every criticism coming to you is coming from somebody who would not have voted for you in the first place. Okay. Okay. Okay, dude. Huge, huge calculation you're making just to make sure it's not incorrect. Just make sure it's not incorrect. There are some people who voted PLP who were not PLPs. There are some people who voted FNM who were not FNMs, especially in some of these seats where candidates like Shenandoah Cartwright and Michael Pentad and those won, listen, and won handsomely despite the huge loss that their party suffered. Or the huge number of people who didn't vote. Man, let me tell you something. So you don't know who out there is the, in quote, noise of the market. So similarly, even in the voting stream and in the business stream, you don't know how businesses support or try to facilitate support for any candidate. If businesses are savvy, they typically try to grease, assist, support both sides of the political divide because they don't know who can come out on top and they surely don't want to be against anybody. So it really becomes necessary to try to reflect in your posture, in your commentary, and what have you, as fulsome a perspective as you can get, so that in the end, even if people disagree with you, they cannot call you jaundiced, unreasoned, or flippant. You can't do that. Anyway, you all have a wonderful evening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We will be back tomorrow. Nahijah Black is up next. God bless you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.